Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese, and it's another week of American Tennis. And Christmas is just a few days away, folks. Can you believe it? It is flying. I've often said recently, as you get older, I've told friends that it sort of gets to be like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it runs out. But I do not know what is going on as you get older here. You just can't get it all done. You scramble, scramble, scramble. Now, I do not know whether it is the daggone cell phones and the computers and all of the accountability to stupidity that we have to do, or if my golly, you just get older and you say, what am I chasing my tail for? But bottom line, Christmas is here, and we're about, I wanted to tell you that this, we will take next week off, and our next show will be December 30th, right before New Year's. And I've been telling people this whole last week, I just tell them, stop rushing. You know, crushing, just running into each other. I said, stop, 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 and count your blessings one by one by one. And, you know, all of us want that. We have that need inside, but boy, we got to get a handle on it somehow. But anyhow, this is American Tennis. I'm Coach Chuck Griese every week. This is, gosh, we're going into our fourth year now. And we talk about the politics of tennis. Wow, a lot to be talking about. After the new year, the coaches' convention was down there this weekend. I do not know how it went. I made a decision to stay with my family instead of going down to fight windmills, and I'm hoping that some of the coaches took up the slack and said what needed to be said and stand up, spoke out, and were strong and did what needed to be done. We'll see. We'll talk more about that later. But with American Tennis, every Wednesday at noon on the UR Tennis Network, the letter U, the letter R, the number 10, and the letter S Network. And Jason Haynes, the originator, the director, and the CEO of the UR Tennis Network, comes on 2 hours from right now with his collegiate tennis program. And thank you, Jason Haynes, for setting up the UR Tennis Network. John Denise and his Florida tennis program is a hit, a big hit. And it's every Thursday, folks, in the afternoon, I think 4 o'clock every Thursday. And we have Steve Clark's West Coast Tennis Program, and folks, listen to that on Tuesdays, as well as Lisa Stone's Parenting Aces, and Lisa is also in her fourth year. Just go to urtennisnetwork.com, and you can get every program. Also, go to my website at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E. You can get every program that I've done. Also, keep up with the things I'm doing, my writings, my camps, and a lot of that. And thanks for listening today. And as I've been getting prepared for my program today, I try to always, at Christmas time, try to come up with something that is pertinent and makes sense, that helps us count our blessings one by one by one. And I was walking out the door this morning, and I basically, I always give my children, do your best, forget the rest. You know, regular stuff's good enough. Different little one-line loaded languages, and walking out, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do a top 10 list today of the top 10 loaded languages that I use, and basically in gratitude for being able to, be able to teach and to coach. This is my 40th season, 40 years now that I have been coaching tennis, college tennis. Actually been coaching tennis for 45 years, and I am so grateful for that, but I'm also so grateful and so thankful for being able to be in the sport of tennis, and it was only by chance that I was able to get into tennis, just a kid at the park, and my basketball coach in about 7th grade said, why don't you try tennis with the kids in the summertime? I don't want to do that sissy sport, and you know, he said, it helped your defense. So I went down and I hung out and watched and watched and watched. And yet last week I talked a lot about hard to pick up is hard to put down. And from the minute you swung at a ball and missed it and could not control it and wanted to control it, those are the things that addicted me to tennis. Those were the things. And the competition, of course, wanting to do well and not liking to lose to other kids. It was none of the showboat stuff. And only God knew that tennis would be such a big part of my life. And I was into a lot of other things and other sports, but this is the one that got the big hook in my mouth. And why it did was for many, many reasons that all of you have been into tennis. So we need to count our blessings one by one for being in the sport of tennis. You know, but anyhow, I wanted to get right into the program today. It's a little bit of a shortened program, but I do want to talk about the top 10 loaded languages of all time. And I guess I need to back up here a second and tell you why I use loaded language. First of all, it helps me remember stuff. And all of us are like that. I mean, we have these big concepts of hard work, teamwork, hard work, things that happen to us, disappointments, successes, how to handle both of those. And the journey is such a great one, we would like to encapsulate all of it into some message. And I've always found that in working with young people, if you can sort of, package it in a way to where it's simple to understand, and if you could put a phrase with it or something, most of the time they'll remember it. And loaded language is extremely powerful. I said often on our program, I can still remember my mother saying, don't take any wooden nickels as I ran out the door, you know, in the morning. Or, love many, trust few, paddle your own canoe, son. You know, or, soap is cheap, books are free, never be dirty or dumb. And I mean, how do you remember these things? I can still remember the Pepsi Cola jingle. Pepsi Cola hits the spot, 12 full ounces. That's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel to Pepsi Cola's drink. I mean, for you, we can remember the jingles from when we're children, but the loaded language is extremely powerful. A phrase, if we can put things with a phrase, or if we can do things and put them in a package where it's fun for the children, or it's something that they can pick up on, and then they think of the magnitude as time goes on. So the loaded language is extremely powerful, and yes, it helps me to remember things, and I'll repeat them over and over again. My father used to repeat some of the same things over and over, and I can still hear his voice. My mother used to do it. All of you out there have had this situation with a coach or a teacher, and you can still hear their voice. And why is important, why it was so important, that connection with that person, was the emotion, or the heartfelt emotion that was connected. So that is why loaded language is so powerful. I mean, my golly, with the momentum, teaching the momentum concept, you know, players don't want to know about how hard running plays are after, you know, you got forehands and backhands and mental toughness and all these things. And then you have your players, you introduce momentum to them. I had to come up with rhymes, or the college kids would not remember them. Like, three in a row starts the flow. If they give you a whack, hurt them right back. If they make a bad mistake, quick point, you try to. These are the loaded language things that we give to our young people. So here we go. And we're off and running with my top 10, and I put them together this morning. And I started out with one that completely has to do with teamwork, you know, and it's not teamwork makes the dream work. That's a good one. But this saying I heard a long time ago, and was it a Newt Rockne thing, or a quote or something that I saw? And folks, I'm sorry I can't give you the person who originated this, but it says, no prize won for self can compare to the pride of accomplishment that is realized when a shared victory is accomplished by many who suffer side by side for a common cause. And this encapsulates everything you want to teach kids about the symmetry of being on a team. That once they experience that feeling of sweating side by side with someone and sharing the blood, sweat, and tears with someone, they will never, ever be selfish again. That's why teamwork is so, so important, and the symmetry is beautiful. When you take 10 people out to run, I always say everybody does 20 seconds better than normal when they run together. The symmetry is almost magical. So number 10, counting down, is no prize won for self can compare to the accomplishment, or the pride of accomplishment, that is realized when a shared victory is accomplished by those who have suffered side by side for a common cause that is noble. But that's number 10. Number nine, and this is one of the first sayings I ever saw written on, I'm going to quote Coach George Dostal, the strength coach at Clemson, who's passed away many, many years ago, but he had this saying on next to the weight room. It said, quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. So quality is never an accident. This one meant a lot to me as a young coach at 25 when I was starting out. And it was something, you want to be successful and you want to do well, but basically this says it all, that it's not an accident. And whether I looked at that and said, well, gee whiz, I can make this thing happen, or let's go in this direction. Let's start planning every day. Let's try to work on your weakness, accentuate the strengths, and do all those things. But I remember Coach George Dostal had that. I'll repeat it one more time. Quality is never an accident. It's always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful skillful execution. And that's a mouthful. Number eight, with working with other people, I love this. You always teach the heart first, teach the head after. The student will do the rest. And this, I wanted to tell you that this one sort of chimes in with a statement that I heard from the late, great Clarence Mabry in 1980. Talk about loaded language. In 1980, I was at the National Teachers Conference in New York City at the Roosevelt Hotel. And the great Clarence Mabry, who was an idol of mine, someone I really looked up to for his, not just his stature, but the goodness, kindness, and the kind of man that he was. The question was asked to him out of the audience, "Coach Mabry, what do you think is the most important quality of a championship athlete?" In his answer, he scratched his chin and he goes, "I most definitely believe that it's the hunger of an inquisitive mind." So I think we do this backwards. We teach the body and the forehands and the backhands. I had a young lady I was teaching this weekend and trying to explain to her father that you train the lower body, overtrain the lower body. The upper body has to be kinesthetic and you've got to feel it. But in your heart, they have to have their heart engaged first. So you teach the heart first, teach the head second. The student will figure out the rest if they have what Clarence Mabry says, the hunger of an inquisitive mind. And you know, folks, we've got a couple callers here already, and I want to get other ideas on. And we're counting down 10, 9, 8. We're going to be at number 7 here in a second. But I want to welcome onto the show, I think, Coach J.P. Weber. Coach, you're on?
Coach, can you hear me?
I surely can, and thanks for coming on. And I really appreciate
so much.
Driving
down the highway here, listening to it. This should be an evening. This should be a fireside chat with Coach Creasy. This is great.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your insight and input as well. But we're down to, you know, number 7. And, you know, the point about it is we're trying to count our blessings one by one. But I have explained why we're using loaded language, Coach, and the kids remember loaded language. They'll remember those loaded language things that we say our whole lives. But anyhow, again, number 10 was no prize won for self can compare to the accomplishment realized when it's shared. A victory is shared by people who suffer side by side for a common cause. And then quality is never an accident. It's always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. I can't read my own writing there. And then teach the heart first, teach the head after. My next one, Coach, is real simple, that comfort bears no fruit, and along with that, the deeper one is my first year of coaching. Adversity introduces a man to himself. Now, I've got to give that little story. In Man's Search for Meaning, a book written by Viktor Frankl, who was a Holocaust survivor, years and years ago, probably my second year coaching, I read this book. Adversity introduces a man to himself was the saying he had in there. He survived that Holocaust. And it's called Man's Search for Meaning. This meant the world to me as a young coach in being able to tell players that, you know what, adversity is how you become great. The more you suffer, the more you will benefit if you will just understand that suffering is just part of the deal. Any thoughts there, Coach, on that one?
I love it. That's one of my favorites. I'm sort of holding my breath here. There, I've got two or three of yours. I'd like to hear I'd like to hear a few. I've got two or three of yours that I guess each of these affect different people differently. There's several that you've said that when you said them, and when we go over them and the meaning that you put behind them and the understanding that you give people with them, they stay with you the rest of your life. That's when you say it's heavy language or impactful language or language that's going to be with you a long time. I've got stuff that you've told me that it'll never go away, and I'm sort of
give us your favorite. And before I go on to number six, there, we got plenty of time. We got about 20 minutes left in the program here, so go ahead, give me your.
I've got two. That one, the one you just mentioned, I've got two or three that I love better than anything. I love breakdowns before breakthroughs.
Well, that's coming up later in the program here, so I won't tell you what number that one is, but go ahead.
I used a lot. It means so much to me, inch by inch, life's a cinch. And then the other one that I have found, I found it more useful in the heat of battle, probably. I always tease people when I tell them, I said, you know, you love the idea that maybe you are a poet, but sometimes what you think doesn't rhyme. But you had a thing that you had where you said, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but I think it was, your regular stuff is good enough. I think you wrote enough, and then you rhymed it with N-U-F-F, enough. But point being is...
Okay, that's probably my spelling there. But, you know, I've brought that up as well. The reason I'm doing this program today is on the way out the door today, I always tell my kids, regular stuff's good enough, do your best, forget the rest. And I just want them to be able to hold on to a few things.
In the heat of battle, coaching kids, that's probably been one of the more, I can remember, you know, not without going through them, matches that I've been on the court coaching players, big matches, added a whole lot to them, telling them that their regular stuff is going to be good enough. And there's so much meaning to that. When you go in, you could spend an hour talking about that quote alone. But the understanding that you give that quote for people and what's behind it, it relaxes them. It lets them know that, you know, that their regular stuff is good enough no matter the situation. They could be on the center court at U.S. Open, or they could be on, you know, they could be on the last court on, and the match is, you know, on their racket, and they're playing ass. And as a coach, those words to them a lot of times, not only are comforting, but they're relaxing, and it gives them the confidence to be able to go out there and what they need to be able to do.
Well, thank you. But, you know, last night watching the debates, I sort of went through my mind in trying to ask myself which one of these guys are being phonies and which guy is really doing his regular stuff. You know how everybody tries to curve their political view based on what they think other people want. You know, being a phony is a bunch of baloney. You know, we all know that, but it's the same with the tennis game. People have to fall into their style. Regular stuff is good enough. So let's move on with number six. Your strengths are often your weaknesses, and your weaknesses are often your strengths. Now, this is one of the paradoxes of the universe, and I wish I could remember all five of them that a very good friend of mine, Carl Beard, told me probably 20 years ago. There are four paradoxes of the universe. One of them, I believe, was that only in the darkest nights do the brightest stars shine. You know, in things that are paradoxes, but this one that our strengths are our weaknesses, and our weaknesses become our strengths. And this is with a person's tennis game. It's with their personality. And, I mean, if you look at somebody, look at Donald Trump last night. Isn't his strength his biggest weakness? You know, but his weakness, biggest strength. Isn't it with a tennis game, sometime a player's, you know, the fact that he's got the best ground strokes in town is his biggest weakness, but that the fact that he had, doesn't have something else becomes his biggest strength as well. So number six, folks, is your strengths are often your biggest weaknesses, and your weaknesses are your biggest strengths. I want to go to number five here, and then we can talk about these. Now, we're going to get a little bit more. These have been with coaching. These things have are really been stable, stabilizing factors for many, many years for me as a coach. But in teaching and in coaching and then in basically in battling against other teams, battling against politics, I love Thomas Jefferson's quotes. I'm going to give a couple here. One is that when it comes to principle, stand like a rock. When it comes to method, you flow with the wind, or flow with it a little bit. But basically, his other biggest quote was, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And I often think about tyranny, foreign, domestic, locally, in tennis, in education, anywhere there is tyranny where people try to impose themselves or something else on you that takes away from our freedom as United States citizens, as people, as human beings, as citizens of the world. Whenever there's tyranny, we have a directive from God to resist it. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. I would rather take a person who resists what I'm saying and is against what I'm saying than a mishy-mushy person who just sort of goes along with things. And again, the separating the the seed from the chaff, or however they say that, is basically, again, when it comes to principles, you stand like a rock. When it comes to method, you can flow with the wave of the wind or the wave, whatever. But matters of principle, we are commanded by God to stand like a rock. As Edmund Burke often says, I always say on this program, is that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And it blows my mind these days that we have such wimpyism, people who do not understand what is going on in our world, who do not care about what's going on in the sport of tennis, who does not care about what's going on with our children. Now, I know I opened a can of worms here, Coach, because I saved the last four after this discussion, but I'd like to have your comments on those, what I've just brought up. Go ahead.
Well, of course, I love that, and I think that it's something that I don't know that it's understood by most people. Most people want you to just kind of go along to get along. I mean, there's probably another 20 sayings that are the opposite of what you just mentioned there with Jefferson. They don't want somebody that's going to maybe go against what you want. A lot of times you get fooled as a coach. To me, I think you get fooled as a coach by having having an entire team where they all just were very compliant and didn't do anything to fight this, that, or the other thing, or they didn't have any fight to. I thought it was good always to have, you always sort of had a mix of players. You had some players that would rebel against you a little bit, but then you had your compliant guys in there. And the mix to it is so important, to have that mix to that.
Well, jumping in there real quick, one of the sayings is, it's easier to tame a roaring tiger than to inspire a timid pussycat. What we're lacking is passion in people, and passion is being sort of weaned out of them a little bit at a time, and it's very, very frustrating. Maybe it's been forced out of them, but I don't see where the passion is with our coach. I see self-serving things, but I don't see the passion that we need to see with our sport and with the coaching and things. Well, am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, but I don't know why it is. necessarily that way. I think that the leaders that we have now, they actually reward that. That's what gets rewarded. You're not getting rewarded if you're an outlier, if you're somebody who doesn't quite think the way. It wouldn't matter how much you accomplished if you're not thinking the way in which, and that may have just always been that way. You know, I don't know that it's any different. I don't know that, you know, but if you're not in line, and I think that, you know, to a certain degree, possibly some of that has to do with the power of the USTA and what the USTA is doing in some ways. And I know people are going to say, he's picking on the USTA again. It's not that I'm picking on them. It's by the, you know, they grew into something that they weren't ever before. And so,
yeah,
you know, you've got
to
get in line.
To be,
if you don't, if,
a big brother
if you
bureaucracy,
get in, if,
them. You know, and
if
let's
you don't
talk
get in line,
not about
if you don't
necessarily
get in line,
about them, but
you're in trouble.
Let's talk, Coach. Let's talk about a player of yours. I mean, the worst teams I've ever heard were the teams where I had no problems.
Yep, you're exactly right. And I can remember a couple of teams that I've been involved with where they needed the guys that were going to be the ones that would step up and say stuff. They needed the guys that were going to be the ones. And I saw teams that probably underachieved more than any of them, who didn't have somebody who was willing to step up and implore the rest of the team to do better or see something differently or be able to speak about it, seeing it differently. You know, there is that thing too, you know, you can feel it, but the actual ability to step up and say something about it is different as well. But then, it all seems easy in a sense, I suppose, to think about it that way. But, they look at you as not being a team player if you do that too, though, right? I mean,
nothing could be further from the truth. What could be the motive of someone who disagrees? They want to make the thing better, and you basically, you know what it is? It's hard. It's really hard to get. I, you know what I love last night watching our debate, the Republican Party debate? I thought, boy, that would be a great team. There's a bunch of winners up there. You know, basically,
yeah,
there's a lot of roosters in the same hen house. They're all fighting for credence and popularity and credibility. It is a fantastic thing. But you need those kind of people in order to be successful, you know, and if you don't have those, you know what, you become average. So, I don't know. We have to, I guess, really be smart and try to take our time and get the counsel of others and pray also that we know what tyranny really is, that we can see it and we stand up against it. I mean, you can only imagine how bad it must have been in colonial times for all of these people, 13 colonies. You didn't have phones. You didn't have communication. You had people but everybody became united. It is incredible that people, you know, the British must have just been awful. They must have been so terrible to make everybody that resolute to stand up and to risk their lives and to die for the country that we have right now. And we just pray to God that we won't, you know, give away all the suffering that all of those people gave, you know. So, but anyhow, well, we're coming down. We're getting close to the top four, but any others, you know, you said inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, too darn hard is one of your favorite ones. Any others?
Those stick, did I mention to, you know, I think that it may not seem as sexy as some of the other ones, but I think it's been one that's been with me for a long time. You always had a saying, you know, and I mentioned to you earlier, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. And it's applied to me as a coach. It's applied to me. It's applied as a player. You know, the players that really want to perform, they'll be there ahead of time. The players that
that don't you know what I mean, the ones that don't show up, the ones that aren't there quite on time, the coaches that aren't committed, the coaches that aren't quite there on time, the ones that don't get there when they're supposed to, you can see a difference in what's going to be their results and performance.
Well, they
don't
have
the
hunger of an inquisitive mind or the hunger to improve to that depth. But, you know, actually, I came up with that. I came up with that reading They Call Me Coach my first year of coaching, and about how Johnny Wooden was, John Wooden. And he
is that a John Wooden thing? I didn't know that was a John Wooden thing.
I forget what it was about being on time with him, but he had a saying. They had these little quotes at the start of every chapter, They Call Me Coach. But, you know, one of my friends in college said, look, I used to, you know, be a few minutes late for classes. He said, you'll be late your whole life if you don't get out of the habit when you're in college. You need to always. And then one other coach said, you were late 2 minutes. We have 10 people here. You just stole 20 minutes out of other people's lives. 2 times 10. Wow, that's a different way of looking at it, too. But anyhow, number four, I say this every week, that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. You're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. I think this keeps a person on course, because most of the time you have to take losses that end up becoming wins in your heart and in your head and in your being, where you learn from them. You know, we always say winning should never go to your head. Losing should never go to your heart. Winning should go to your heart for confidence. Losing to your head for growth. But that has been a very good of a standby to me, just when we do take the hits, you know, are we moving the ball forward? Are we, because, believe me, you have to have the stomach to lose in this sport, don't you, Coach? Any comments there?
Oh, yeah. I love that saying. Am I cutting out? I may have cut out on
you. No, you're still in there. You're still in there.
Okay. I love that saying. I love it. I think you end your show every week with that, and it's fantastic. It's a good reminder of what how you have to keep your head on straight. Competition.
Okay. All right, we're down to number three. Down to number three. This is, and these go back to my first year coaching. There used to be a billboard out on I-85 by Clemson, and I forget what the name of the company was, but the saying used to go, there is no heavier burden than a great opportunity. Now, you got to understand the context. I was 25 years old. I had a coaching job at a major college. I thought, most certainly I'm going to fail unless I really burn the afterburners here and I get lucky a little bit. And I used to feel the burden of this great opportunity. And as I became afraid, understanding that opportunity brings with it a burden of responsibility. I recently told a group of people about any team, but some adults, some fellow coaches and people, I said, people secretly will take a loss that they're comfortable with if they have a convenient excuse, then they will suffer to win or to lose in a noble cause. And some people don't understand that is why we lose. There is a great responsibility and a burden with winning, because the minute you start winning, you have to carry the burden again and again and again. And you do grow into it. Any thoughts there? There's no heavier burden than a great opportunity. Coach Weber.
You know, it goes without saying. You're put into certain situations. And when you're put into those situations, it could be a changing point in your life. But at the same time, when you're given that opportunity, when you're given that situation, for a lot of people it weighs on them, and they're not able to recognize. They end up getting caught up in the the difficult situation that's before them, and they really don't focus on what could end up being a great opportunity for them. So I've always enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a paradox there. I mean, people think, oh, a great opportunity, wow, we'll take advantage. It's not for lack of opportunities that we fail. We fail for the lack of taking advantage of a big opportunity or being prepared for an opportunity. This reminds me of a quote by Winston Churchill, if I can remember it. Winston Churchill, there's a beautiful movie on Netflix called Winston Churchill Walking with Destiny. But the one quote I think I believe in the last line, I think it did, his biography, it said, "To every man there comes a moment that is specifically designed for the skill set and the makeup of that man. And what a tragedy when the moment presents itself and it finds the man unprepared to take advantage of that moment, of that opportunity." So there is no heavier burden than a great opportunity. Winston Churchill, in Walking with Destiny, when he was given the job of prime minister and he had to lead Europe and really the world, he saved the world. He was very depressed at first. He felt the burden, and then it said that he came out the next after going home and thinking and praying about it, whatever, he thought about it. He goes, "Wow, I am the right man for this time and destiny, and everything that I've been through in my life has prepared me for this moment." And that's the reason we don't step forward when an opportunity presents itself, is we haven't done the preparation. And I believe this is why when you work hard, you win more. When you work hard, folks, you win more because you prepared yourself for that and you will carry the burden of it. I believe that skillful people will fail on purpose without a work ethic, because they will rent their wins, they will never own their successes or wins. And it's critical that you work hard, because then you can walk with your own destiny with your shoulders high because you've done the work. So we're down to number two, and one of them, as Coach Weber already said, is that breakdowns always happen before breakthroughs. And it is one of those parodies of life, or those paradoxes, that you always are challenged with failure before you are allowed to go forward. Now, this wall that's put up or whatever is something that is there to separate, I think, the pretenders from the contenders. I think it is there to separate the people who are not supposed to go forward, the people who haven't done the work, the people who really, not that they're not capable, but they do not want the burden of carrying the responsibility of success. So what they do is they almost fail on purpose, or they will stop trying. They will stop trying after they fail. But if you understand, now I have a scripture from the Bible there, James 1, verses 4, and here's the scripture. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and be complete and not lacking for anything." So when we have hardship, when we have pain, we must say that we must go forward again and again and again and again until we break through. So I think breakdowns before breakthroughs has to be part of the most important thing that I've ever learned, especially in those times when you're having problems. Coach Weber, any quick comments before I go to number one? We're almost out of time. We've got a few minutes left here.
Who hasn't had an athlete that hasn't applied with too? And the thing is it's what that quote, more than probably any other, you know, is appropriate when you're struggling with a team, you're struggling with a player, you're struggling with a player who's having to do it. But also nowadays it's tougher in some ways because we take away that barrier that they have to break through in many ways. We're trying to make it so there are no barriers. it's difficult to get those breakdowns and breakthroughs and those learning situations that come up from it. So for me, what I see today and now is it's something that we have to still allow for with the athletes. We still got to go ahead and let the young kids. And there were so many kids that would be suffering and then they'd have these breakthroughs. You've always told me, and I've always tended to agree with you, that these breakthroughs don't happen in that 6-0, 6-1 match or that 6-0, 6-0 match. They happen in these matches where you've sort of battled, you know, or you've lost, you know, in a really tough thing, but you've done the right things that you needed to do in order to get there.
So well, let me tell you where they happen, Coach. They usually happen, you lose 7-5 in the third, 6-4 in the third, 7-5 in the third, and you want to give up tennis and sell your rackets. And they happen,
yep.
And here's where we're cheating our kids. With 10-point tiebreakers, abbreviated scoring system, here I go. But bottom line, you cheat the kid out of winning that next match 7-5 in the third. All of the learning takes place, and the rites of passage, the marked rites of passage happen when the kids finally break through to 7-5 in the third. Then they beat the same person 3-3 the next time. But tennis is beautiful because of that, and what we have done is we have taken away the stumbling blocks for kids with success. So you can see the tragedy in giving the kids participation trophies or, hey, this is good. When you champion the weak, you weaken the champions. But you have to allow the breakdown before the breakthrough, and we all hate them. We hate the pain of it because it tests our inner guts whether or not we ever want to try again. You know, so we're coming up on number one, and we'll talk about number one, and then we'll wrap it up here, Coach. My most impacting quote that I have ever had in my life, and it pushes me forward day after day after day when things are good, when things are bad. And here it goes. If you don't do the work that you've been called to do, it may never get done. I also saw a quote, and I'll tell you where I saw this quote. But I saw a quote in the book, They Call Me Coach, by John Wooden, and it said, what I am is God's gift to me. What I become is my gift back to God. But basically, we need to approach our job as a vocation. Our teaching vocation is a gift from God. We have been put here to do this work, and we only will have peace in our hearts when we find that work that we've been called by God to do. And if we do the work we've been called to do, we will be at peace. Whether we're successful, whether we're not, we'll handle success as well, and we will be able to handle the failures with poise as well, and with be able to bounce back and do all those things. If we know why we're doing this, and basically that should be all of our prayers we go into Christmas, is that we need to ask God to help us find the work that we've been called to do, and we will be happy in that work, and that will motivate us when we're 65, 85, 25, 35, 45. It will motivate us after 45 losses in a row or 45 wins in a row. But we must do the work we've been called to do. It answers the thing, it answers what is most critical and what is most pertinent to our soul. It speaks to our soul about why we are here. And Coach, that's my 10 favorite sayings. What do we got from you here? How can you wrap it up here before we close? And again, listen, I'm thankful for the coach you are, the friend you have been over the years, the man you are. But God bless you and your family. I wanted to say that, as we're winding down here. Go ahead. I'll give you the last word here.
Well, I guess the why comes first, right? So in that last, in your number one, why you're doing it and why it comes first, if that's what you've chosen to do. But let me say, I want to get this in. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know you all your stuff is great. Now, my son... for most of this. I've had to actually, I've driven to another place. We've been doing some other stuff. Stuff's been going on around. So I've been listening to you. He's been listening to the whole thing too. I'm gonna put you on the spot here. I know you're writing the next Tolstoy of tennis. Yeah, Total Tennis Training out there is a great book. You're gonna write another one. It's gonna be like James. You're the James Michener of tennis. You're gonna write this. It's great. I want you not to do that. I want you to take something like this. I want you to do this. You need to write a kid's book with all these things. My son enjoyed listening to that more. I hope your listeners will take this and they'll let their kids listen to it. They'll let other people that they have a chance to play with and deal with listen to it. It's a great show. I enjoyed all the quotes, but most of all, my son was sitting there listening to most of them and enjoyed them as well. That ought to be your next book, though, Coach. You need to write a book, and it would be so worthwhile because coaches could use it and take it inside with them on a day where it's raining outside. They could sit down and go through some of these, keep it simple. I challenge you to write it in under 60 pages, put it almost out in a pamphlet form. You'll sell a million copies. That's how I'd close the show.
Well, I hope we got a million tennis players out there.
You probably wouldn't. It wouldn't be just tennis players that would buy it. But it wouldn't be you. And again, you probably, I doubt you've made very much money, if any at all, on your books. You've sold a lot of them. They're out there. But it's not about the money that you made on the books. It's about the benefit it would do for kids. Having something like what you just went through and going down that would be a super, super thing. So I put you on the spot. I've told you that in private before. I put you on the spot. Now the whole world knows it. It's on the radio. You need to write that next book. Simple 60-page book that coaches can use on rainy days to go over some great values and some great concepts and ideas. And this has been a great show. This show ought to be like, if you cut out my parts, it would be a great show.
Coach, we've talked about this before. As you get older, you know, you really want fine wine. You don't want cheap stuff. You look for quality. You don't want flash. You look for people who want mastery over their profession, not just success. You want posterity more than prosperity. I love the time I get to spend with you, your family, and people who are like you. The depth is a million miles deep, and the passion exudes there. And I cherish your friendship. I cherish the friendship of anyone who is passionate enough to put their heart on the line day in, day out like you are. And we are all blessed beyond belief. And, Coach, thank you. I got to go here. We didn't even have time for a commercial. I hope it'll be okay.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD. He's just made in America. Made in America. Made in America.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy once again reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life. And folks, it has very little to do with a win or a loss. I'd like to thank Coach J.P. Weber for calling in today. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank you for listening this past year and the 3.5 years that we've had the American Tennis Program on. And folks, we are all blessed beyond belief to be able to work with young people, to be teachers first, and then to be coaches. And then tennis is the vehicle that we use. And what a wonderful, wonderful game that we have. And folks, I'd ask you to think about it long and hard. Please don't let folks dumb this great sport down. This sport is really a stronghold and a pillar and a cornerstone and a centerpiece and whatever you want to say for so many children out there. And for all of us, it's meant so much. So let's keep it. Let's honor it, and it will honor us. Thanks very much, and we will see you December 30th. And hug your loved ones and count your blessings one by one by one. See you next time.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.